Living within your means not only involves taking care of the expenses you incur today, but also preparing for expenses you're likely to incur down the road. I am Rob West. Ahead today, we'll be living in the future. Well, sort of. Plus, we'll take your calls on any financial topic. So here's our number, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, as you've probably heard me say before, when you get right down to it, there are five basic things you can do with money. You can earn it, you can use it to live on, you can give some away, you can pay it to people you owe, such as debt payment or taxes, or you can invest it so that it will grow for the future. Those five things are easy to remember: earn, live, give, owe, and grow. On our Monday programs, as we start a new week, we often focus on one of those foundational five things. Today, it's the live category, using money to live on. Now, when I say money to live on, you probably think of gas, groceries, your electric bill, those regular expenses that occur day to day or month to month. But I want to focus on another aspect of money to live on: paying for things that are not regular expenditures. And this is where many people get tripped up in their finances. They fail to set aside enough money for future expenses. Sometimes we don't know about those things in advance, at least not specifically. For example, I don't know if my car will develop transmission trouble 6 months from now. I hope not, but I do know my car is likely to need some kind of repair or at least some kind of maintenance in the months ahead. So it's wise for me to set aside a certain amount of money each month in an auto repair fund so that when that expense occurs, well, I'll have money to pay for it. The late Larry Burkett used to call this planning for unplanned expenses. You may not know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but you can be pretty sure that at some point something will go wrong with your car or a furnace or a lawnmower or something. And if you don't have money set aside, those unplanned expenses can create a bit of a financial crisis. This is why it's so important that when you set up your budget, your spending plan, you build in savings for emergencies. An even better approach is to get more precise about it with separate savings accounts for different things, such as one for general emergencies and one for home repair and auto repair. That may sound complicated, but it's not. Several online banks, including Capital One and Discover Bank, allow you to easily set up multiple savings accounts with no minimums or fees, so you can segregate your savings for different types of unplanned expenses and keep it all straight. Well, let's move from unplanned expenses to expenses we know about in advance and often don't prepare for. This is September, and I have news for you. Christmas is just a little more than 3 months away. Now, from when you and I were little kids, we've always known when Christmas is, and yet every year it seems to take people by surprise, at least in a financial sense. Christmas comes, but they're not ready for Christmas-related spending. Extra expenses at Christmas are common, not only for gifts, but for things like a Christmas tree, replacement lights, maybe seasonal entertainment or a trip to visit relatives. It adds up. Are you preparing for those expenses? People who are really good at managing money often start setting funds aside in January for Christmas-related expenses. And that's not a bad idea. But even if you didn't start back then, you can start now. By setting aside money in September, October, November, and early December, you'll have a pool of money for Christmas-related things. So, where do you get the money to set aside for Christmas? Well, there's only one way: adjust your spending. You have to not spend money on other discretionary expenses between now and Christmas. This involves making a commitment. I am not going to spend on this or that now because I'm saving it for Christmas spending later. Or we're not going to go out to eat this week. Instead, we're going to save that money for Christmas. I understand. Restraining your spending can be challenging, so it helps to have a clear goal in mind, such as being able to buy gifts and do other things you want to do at Christmas time without going into debt. So here is what I want you to remember today. When you think about money to live on, think beyond your regular expenses to those that occur only every so often, whether it's fixing your furnace or buying gifts at Christmas. Being able to live in the future, so to speak, is crucial to achieving long-term financial health and stability. I'm Rob West, and your calls are just ahead. The number, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. And opportunities are everywhere. You might think people don't want to hear you talk about God, but not true, especially not now. Especially with all the anger and chaos and confusion that's gripping America. Over 80% of the unchurched know the world's out of control, are hoping there's a God who can make sense out of the chaos, and get this, are actually looking for someone to tell them. That's you. That's God calling you into full-time service. Every time you're in public, think about this. Most of the people you're looking at will miss the rapture unless someone interrupts their trajectory. They may appear happy and energized with their loss and will be left behind to face the Antichrist unless someone like you turns their thoughts towards God. It's God's plan and your responsibility to move everyone every day closer to Jesus where they can hear His voice. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
In Florida, public officials asked residents to pray during a crime spree. Critics demanded that the officials backtrack because they were offended. But there's no law that gives us the right not to be offended. Our Constitution was created after a prayer meeting. We have a National Day of Prayer, and our leaders have prayed since our founding. If people are offended by prayer, maybe they should listen to something else until it's over. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Coming up on the broadcast today, several of your emails and posts to the MoneyWise community. That's right. Folks are posting every day to our community at MoneyWise.org and in the MoneyWise app. Several of those get on the air. And so we'll actually respond to a few of those questions today. Also, how do you accomplish big financial goals? Do you have a financial goal in the area of saving or eliminating debt or even employment? How do you accomplish those? Well, I'll break each of them down and provide some helpful counsel for you today on reaching your goals. Plus, again, your questions, 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about the live category. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's money we live on, there's money we give, there's money we owe, and money we grow. And everything we do with God's money fits into one of those categories, our live categories for our lifestyle. That's that's really the spending we do on a day-to-day basis. The give, obviously, is our giving, both systematically and sacrificially. The O category, well, that's debt and taxes. And then grow is the money we're growing for the short term and the long term, starting with our emergency fund with a target of 3 to 6 months' expenses, and then looking toward those medium-term goals that might be saving for a college education, and then longer-term goals, whether that's saving for retirement or increasing your giving over time. And as we look at each of those, we can see in the Council of Scripture that God's Word has to say something about each of them. We can go to that timeless wisdom and pull principles out that apply to today's decisions and choices. But in this live category, here's what I think it's important to understand. Ultimately, if we do not live within our means, we won't accomplish our desires and plans in other areas of our financial life. You see, if we don't spend less money than we bring in, it's impossible to achieve any financial goals and try to move into any of the other principles we find in the other categories. Without margin, which is the difference between what comes in and what comes or what goes out, we can't avoid debt. We can't give. We can't accumulate for the unexpected. Our goals can't be met. You see, if we don't follow this first principle of spending less than we earn, well, we're going to have trouble doing just about anything else. And so I think what one of the keys for us is to be able to understand that and determine that our lifestyle is one of the primary determinants of our ability to save for the future. You know, when we face a tight budget, often people immediately move toward, well, I just need to add more income, perhaps take a second job. Maybe a spouse needs to go back to work. But let me challenge you on that how can I get more thinking and encourage you to make every effort to spend less than you earn right now, today, before you jump into adding income. Now, of course, I'm making an assumption that you're already employed at the level that makes sense for your training and experience, but ultimately, it may make sense for you to add income in order to accomplish your goals, but I believe that respecting the paycheck you have and living within it is the first step toward accomplishing any long-term financial desire or goal. So think about that today. Go back to that spending plan, that budget, and see where you can dial it back and make sure that you have that margin that's ultimately going to allow you to accomplish the goals that you have for yourself down the road. And by the way, our MoneyWise app can help with that using the tried and true envelope system in a beautiful digital format. It allows you to set up your spending plan and make a plan for your budget, give every dollar a name, and then ultimately have a system to control the flow of money in and out so that you know you're staying on budget. Using the digital envelope system, you can see at any moment what's left in each of those categories. And when you do, well, there's an opportunity for you to stop your spending, especially in those discretionary categories that can get away from us so quickly. Because when we're out for the month, well, we're done. And then we wait until the next month. Having that information becomes incredibly powerful for you as you're managing God's money day to day. If you'd like to check out the MoneyWise app, you can do that in your app store, wherever you get your apps. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, or you can head to our website, moneywise.org, and just click the app button. But folks, this area of live is the key to every financial success. So really dial into that, especially now when inflation is wreaking havoc in so many of our budgets. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'll start in Virginia today. Sandra, you're first on the program. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I've got a money market certificate that's coming due, and I'd like to invest the money in silver. Is that wise, or I just like your opinion about it?
Yeah. How much do you have coming due, Sandra?
It's about $24,000.
Okay. And tell me how this $24,000 fits into the rest of your financial life. Do you have an emergency fund separate from this?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Very good. And then are you saving for retirement in a company sponsored plan or something similar?
Yeah, I'm retired.
Oh,
yeah,
you are. Okay,
retired.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm 79.
Okay, and then your income sources right now, Social Security, what else?
Yes, and IRA. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I get a monthly,
You pull monthly from the IRA. Okay. About how much is in the IRA, if you don't mind me asking?
$178,000.
Okay. And how much are you pulling per month?
About $500.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we would usually look at a 4% withdrawal rate as a great starting point, and that'd be about $600 a month. So you're under that. And so with a properly diversified portfolio, being able to preserve that capital and also generate that income of about $500 a month to supplement Social Security, I think is a great strategy. Now, for this $24,000, what about silver? Well, I'm not a big fan of being highly concentrated in the precious metals. Silver, I would put in more of a speculative investment category. Right now, it's selling for about $20 an ounce. 2 years ago, it was $32 an ounce. 10 years ago, it was $45 an ounce. So, and a lot higher than that in the 80s. So if we want to invest in precious metals, which I like as a way to be in a store of value and to have an uncorrelated asset as a part of your portfolio, I generally recommend that it be no more than 5% of your total investment. So if you were to take a look at this, $178,000 that you have, and you were to add the 24 to it, that would mean you've got a portfolio of about $200,000, and 5% of that would only be about $10,000. So I think $24,000 is a little much for me. I'd rather see you perhaps keep that to $10,000. Now, one option, though, for you to look at, Sandra, have you heard me talking about the I-bonds recently?
No.
Okay. So that would be one other option to look at. I mean, we can certainly come back to silver here in a second, but the I-bonds are inflation bonds issued by the U.S. government. Right now, they're paying 9.62% with almost zero risk because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You got to hold them for at least a year, but that kind of return with no risk is a phenomenal rate of return. Now, that's going to adjust every 6 months based on inflation, but what a great opportunity to take advantage of something that's not going to be speculative and give you a great rate of return. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. We'll finish up off the air. 800-525-7000. Your call's just around the corner. Stay with us.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
Picture a stormy sea. The waves are rolling viciously and the sky is darker than night. The crack of thunder can be heard over the roaring wind. A tiny ship is thrown wildly up and down as it rides the waves. The crew is just about to lose hope when someone spots a sudden flash in the distance. A lighthouse.
Lighthouse for the Lost, an article by Parker May. To read this article, visit EngageMagazine.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman. Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, applying God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I had the chance to talk to Sandra off the air just to finish up our conversation. You know, with about $200,000 in investable assets, $170,000 or so in an IRA, plus about $24,000 coming due, I believe, in a CD. She was asking about silver, wanting to put $24,000 in. And I said, you know, really, I'd love to see folks keep their precious metals allocation to about 5% of the portfolio, just given the speculative nature of precious metals, the long-term performance and volatility. So where we landed is she's going to take about $10,000 and put towards silver. And I recommended using one of the exchange-traded funds that tracks the price of silver instead of taking physical possession with the dealer markups and the security, you know, issue that you've got to store it safely at home. And then take another $10,000 and put toward the I-bonds paying 9.62%. And she thought that was a great idea. I think she's going to move ahead with that. But, you know, as we think about the precious metals, I realize in times of uncertainty and fear, this conversation just really dials up. We see a lot of ads on TV and, you know, the tendency is to say, well, maybe I should have an IRA full of the precious metals. It's a store of value and it's a fear trade, if you will. And yet, when we look at it over the long haul, I believe keeping that proper allocation of 5%, certainly no more than 10% of our portfolio, is really more prudent. And the data says long-term, we will win with that strategy. All right, taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Arkansas we go. Jim, you're next on the program, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and feel free to ask me any questions that you need to answer mine.
Okay.
So I have this form, voluntary withholding request from the Social Security Administration, because I'm starting to get my Social Security checks, and it's asking me what amount of taxes do I want withheld from my Social Security checks. It gives me a choice. 7, I don't think so. 10, 12, or 22.
Yeah. Well, Social Security benefits, as you might know, Jim, are taxable only if your overall income exceeds $25,000 for an individual or $32,000 for a married couple filing jointly. If the income you report is above that threshold, then you could pay taxes on up to 85% of your benefits. And then, you, as you said, you can designate to have no tax withheld, or then 7, 10, 12, or 22. Obviously, the more you have taken out, the lower your tax liability will be when you file your taxes. There's a form that you can download. It's the W-4V, as in Victor, which can walk you through choosing a withholding rate. So I would probably look to that form to help you determine the appropriate amount so you have enough taken out, but you don't have too much that may result in you having to get a refund back and given a, you know, interest-free loan to the government for a period of time. Apart from that, you could connect with a tax professional who could look at your specific situation. But I think that W-4V may help you in just running some through some numbers to see the right withholding rate.
Okay, my income probably will not be above that.
Okay, then, you know, that's the threshold where your benefits become taxable. And so at that point, you know, you would be under essentially the standard deduction.
Which would be, again, what?
Which would mean there'd be... Yeah, so then you wouldn't pay taxes on your Social Security benefits if you don't get above that threshold for your overall income, all income coming into your household.
So I don't pay taxes on my Social Security checks unless I get above
$25,000 for an individual, $32,000 for a married couple filing jointly.
Okay, so this is moot unless they get above that $25,000.
That's right. Yeah. Now, if this is the first year you kind of have this income situation, you want to check with a tax professional. That's never a bad idea, just to make sure you're looking at all income sources. But that is the threshold you need to exceed for those benefits to become taxable. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, sir. To Texas we go. Deborah, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a little farm here in Texas that I own outright with a partner. We went in 50-50. We're selling it, and I should get about, you know, $200,000. My problem is I want to move back to northern Nevada where my family is, and the prices there on housing are so inflated, it's absurd for what you get.
Yeah.
So I want to hold on to that money and wait for the bubble to burst, which I'm sure it will in the next year or two at the most. What do I do with that money in the meantime?
Yeah. Well, if your time horizon is, less than 5 years, in this case, it sounds like it's probably 1 to 2 years, I would just use a high yield savings account, Deborah, with one of the online banks. There's not going to be any minimums or fees, and they're paying right now 1.8% interest, probably on their way to 2% plus as the Fed funds rate continues to rise. I would look at Marcus.com, which is the retail operation of Goldman Sachs, or Capital One 360, or Ally Bank. Any of those three online banks would be great. You'll have FDIC insurance backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, up to $250,000 per account per institution or account type. Per institution. So you've got ultimate safety there, and you can earn a little bit of interest, you know, while you're waiting. In terms of the property values, I would agree. We should see, them decline slightly, especially if we were to head into a full-blown recession. I don't anticipate any kind of bubble bursting, except in maybe some extreme pockets of the country. Keep in mind, there's still quite a bit of demand and very little inventory right now. I mean, the thing working against us, even though the job market is very strong, is interest rates have gone up, which low interest rates on top of the incredible demand for housing. We're about still 2 to 3 million houses short based on the need that exists. Keep in mind, the baby boomers are buying homes now because they're having families, and you've got a lot of folks working remotely, and that option wasn't available. So they're moving out of these densely populated urban areas to more suburban areas and buying single-family homes. I think that's going to keep these prices high, even though we'll start to see a cooling, and we already have, but I don't think you're going to see a bubble burst. But I think using that high-yield savings account is going to be what you need. Deborah, we appreciate your call. 800-525-7000. More of your questions just around the corner. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Can you imagine the Iranians? You think they're not listening to our news media? You think they're not absorbing what's being said and coloring their response based on American media? Of course they are. I've never seen more blatant, really, treason in my life than we're seeing from media and from Democrats on the left. Honestly, this is unbelievable, inexcusable, and should be punished. But then it seems like we live in an age where justice just never seems to be done.
Listen to Sandy Rios weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Just before the break, my team said that I indicated that one of the reasons we're going to see housing prices remain high is because the baby boomers are having kids and buying single-family homes. Probably not. What I meant was Gen Y, those and the millennials that are now reaching age 30, primarily the millennials are reaching that age where they're having kids and placing additional demand on our housing needs around the country. It'd be interesting to watch, especially with high interest rates and a softening economy, despite the still strong labor market, what happens with housing prices. I read just over the weekend, housing prices up 42% nationally since the start of the pandemic. That is incredible. If you haven't checked your home value lately at Zillow.com, if you're looking for some good news, check it out and see what it says. You might be surprised at how high it is. All right, we'll be taking more of your calls and questions here today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, we have folks posting questions to our MoneyWise community all the time at MoneyWise.org and in the MoneyWise app. We'd love to hear from you there. This was posted recently from Faith. She writes, "How can I get my fiance to understand that I'm working within a budget? It's becoming an issue in our relationship because we don't see eye to eye about money." And Faith, I would simply say, it sounds like your fiance isn't living on a budget, and you're right. That can cause real problems in marriage. So here's what I do. Ask him if he's willing to sit down with you to prepare his own budget. It's important that he demonstrates his willingness and ability to live on a budget at this stage in your relationship. I would also talk about your shared values and ultimately the financial goals that flow out of those values. You know, achieving them together is one reason to have a spending plan in the first place. Another is to honor God with your finances. Remember, God's design for marriage is oneness, and that includes finances. And so as you come together and begin to talk about that, I would also talk about how money was handled growing up. You know, who we are today in terms of how we handle money is in many ways shaped by some of our earliest memories about money. Talk about those and how that affects how you and he handles money today. Are you somebody that really holds on tightly? Are you somebody that kind of spends more freely? It's not that one's better or worse, but understanding that will, I think, help inform you what each of you is bringing to the table in this area of money management. So you can create a plan together as husband and wife, and through these shared goals and through your day-to-day handling of God's money through your spending plan, you'll be able to accomplish what God has for you longer term. But having these conversations now is really essential. Finally, I would pray together that the two of you can reach agreement on how to live on a budget and manage your money, including what lifestyle you believe God has called the two of you to, and how much giving you want to do. What role does generosity play in all of this? Talk about that now, so when the time comes, you'll be ready to merge your finances once you're married. And we'll certainly ask our MoneyWise community faith to be praying for you as you have some of those conversations. This question comes from Mike. He writes, what's the difference between a 401k and an IRA? Which one do you suggest? Also, which life insurance is better, whole life or term life? Well, let me tackle both of these. By the way, we'll be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. The number to call, 800-525-7000 with any financial question today, whether it's your spending plan, your investments, your debt reduction, or your savings, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Mike, the first difference between a 401k and an IRA is that the 401k is only offered through an employer, except for one small exception called an individual 401k, but generally offered through your company. While the IRA, the individual retirement account, is just that, it's set up by an individual. And since the 401k is offered by employers, they may also offer matching contributions that, of course, you don't get with an IRA. And by the way, you want to take full advantage of that matching. That's free money. I mean, think about this. If they're going to match you for the first, let's say, 3%, which is very typical, that's an 100% return on your money immediately up to your first 3% of contributions. You're not going to find 100% return anywhere. So take full advantage of that right out of the gate. As to your life insurance question, we always advise folks to go with term life insurance because it's far less expensive than whole life, which is really a mixture of insurance and investing. You might want to call term life insurance pure insurance because you're essentially just paying for the mortality expense. The other benefit to buying term, and then, by the way, investing the difference on your own, so you have the full upside of those investments over the long term as opposed to inside an insurance contract. The other benefit to term is because it's so inexpensive, you can buy, hopefully, the proper amount that you need for your coverage. At the very least, I would say you need 10 to 12 times your earnings for your coverage. And that really is just a starting point. Some folks use what's called the DIME method, D-I-M-E, and that would include debt, income, mortgage, and education. So essentially, debt is all of your existing debt is added up to determine how much it would cost to repay that balance due to an untimely death. So your loved one that's left behind, perhaps a spouse, doesn't have to bear the cost of that. Income, that's that 10 to 12 times your annual income that you're trying to replace. Your mortgage, that's your M, being able to pay off the mortgage. And then finally, education. If you had enough life insurance to cover your debt, replace the income, pay off the mortgage, and cover the education, well, that would put your loved one or dependent in a really great spot to be able to make sure that all the needs were met and that what's left over is enough to provide for your loved one. So think about that as you seek out the proper insurance coverage. And Mike, I hope that helps as you think about the 401k versus the IRA, and then also the proper amount of insurance that you need. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. When we come back, though, more of your questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we hit that break, though, let me just mention quickly, I said it earlier in the program that I would talk about how you can create a strategy to reach big financial goals, whether that's saving or eliminating debt, or even your employment goals. Let's start with the saving category. This can often be really challenging. You know, paying for college or retirement or a home purchase can often mean many years of diligent saving. And remember, you're not just building wealth for its own sake. So we want you to make a plan. Now, how do you go about doing that? Well, here's some maybe some simple ideas for you to think about as you put that plan together for your savings. First, set a target amount. Then break it down into manageable, smaller steps. You know, maybe look at some short-term goals along the way to ultimately achieving your longer-term, bigger financial goal. Then figure out how much you'll need to save each month. Commit to putting that money away where it will earn the most interest. And that's where I come back to a high-yield savings account at an online bank. And I like the idea of automating your savings, making it a regular automatic transfer right out of your checking account that's built into the budget so you don't see it or have to think about it. And it just happens every month like clockwork. Often, I want you to remind yourself of why you're saving as well. I think that can make a huge difference. For your retirement, start with your 401k that offers matching, and for college, use a 529 plan. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's enough to make any parent break out in hives. You're at a friend's house for dinner, and one of your kids looks at her plate and says, "Daddy, this is gross." Now, if I had said that out loud, it would have been inexcusable. But kids don't know any better. Here's my point. As people grow up, they're more capable of exercising good judgment. And the same when it comes to growing to maturity in Christ. So when you're tempted to judge the shortcomings of another, consider Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. And that's true in your own path to maturity in Christ. Try at Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for tuning in to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial as we apply God's wisdom to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. We'd love to hear from you. We have some lines open here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, we're big fans of planning here on MoneyWise, and having a plan is the best way to meet your financial goals. But what if your goals are big, like completely getting out of debt or finding a much better paying job or saving a lot for college or retirement? Well, Proverbs 19:21 reminds us that many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will succeed. So the first question to ask when you're making any financial goals is, what's God's will? You know, I firmly believe God will direct you as you pray, read His Word, and submit your plans to Him. True success comes only when we align our plans with God's purposes. So when we start with our values and priorities as believers, that really then is what informs ultimately the goals that we will set. But if your goals seem too big or too far away, you might find yourself becoming discouraged. Well, just before the break, we considered how you go about setting savings goals. Let's talk about another big goal you might have, and that is eliminating debt. By the way, we'll be taking a few of your calls and questions before we round out the program today, 800-525-7000, if you have a question for us today. Eliminating debt. All right, this is another area where you need a plan. How do you go about that? Well, first, make sure you know exactly what you owe. If you can make your own plan and stick to it, great. But you may want to visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. I don't recommend debt consolidation or debt settlement, but I do like debt management, especially with credit cards where you can get the interest rates down. But you've got to begin with what you owe. So I would actually make a list of all of your debts, all of your liabilities, who you owe it to, how much the interest rate is, what's the balance and the minimum payment. And that's where I think with credit card debt of more than $4,000, once you get that written down, a debt management program can really be powerful because you'll get those interest rates down. And with one fixed monthly payment, you'll pay debt off through a debt management program generally 80% faster. Again, our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org have helped hundreds of our MoneyWise listeners get out of debt once and for all. Now, if you're going to do it yourself, you want to pay off your debt one at a time, applying the payment amount to the next debt each time you pay one off. This is what we affectionately call the snowball method. This is where you line up the balance, smallest balance to large, and you pay the minimums on all of them, keeping them current, of course, but then taking any margin that you have, assuming you're living within your means, you've got something left over at the end of the month, you take all of that margin and apply it to the debt with the smallest balance. Why not the highest interest rate? Well, what studies have found is that if you can make some real progress by paying off and eliminating your smallest debt quickly, that will give you the boost, the psychological encouragement to keep going. And the ultimate objective is making sure you finish and pay them all off. And that's why the debt snowball is so powerful. Now, pay them off one at a time, moving right down the line with each one as it's paid off. Celebrate along the way. That's really key. And by the way, share your goals with maybe a trusted friend or family member so they can encourage you as you proceed. Remember what God's word says about this. The borrower is servant to the lender. So keep your debt-free goal in sight and remind yourself the freedom that will come by being unencumbered down the road. All right. We've talked about saving for big goals. We've talked about eliminating debt. What about the big goals you have for employment? To improve your earning power, you'll need a promotion or a new job. So again, I think it's really important to set smaller goals to reach your big goal. Maybe you need to get some training and improve your skills. Maybe you need to network, talk to contacts every week. Make that your full-time job if you can. Develop a positive professional social media presence. You need to, of course, update your resume. And I would even practice or rehearse video and in-person interviews. Skills. A lot of interviews now being done through video call. So be ready to have a professional looking background, a quiet place that you can focus, and perhaps even a few lights to make sure you've got a good picture. To summarize all this, when we've got big financial goals in the area of saving or debt or employment, you can avoid burnout by having a clear plan and breaking the big goals down into smaller bite-sized pieces. Another general principle is to get good advice along the way. As Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So if we here at MoneyWise can help you, send us an email, call the program, or visit moneywise.org and click on the community tab. But no matter what goals and plans you might have, it's the purpose of the Lord that will prevail, and his purpose is for your best. Here's God's reassurance to you from Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you today as you think about accomplishing those big financial goals that you have that line up with your values and priorities as a believer. All right, we've got just a few moments left on the program today. Time for maybe one question, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to our community and grab a question or two from many of you who are submitting questions to us all the time. This first one comes from John. He writes, I'm retired and getting older. If I don't have a 10-year horizon for stock investments, What do you suggest for my portfolio? And I would just say, John, you know, as we get closer and closer to retirement or in that retirement season of life, we need to move more intentionally toward a fixed income portfolio. And this can include bonds. Now, bonds have been challenging as of late because as interest rates rise, the prices of the bonds tend to fall. So we need to stay on the shorter end of our maturity dates in a time like this. You could also look at municipal bonds, which are generally not subject to federal taxes. I would, though, recommend for most folks, and obviously this is going to be dependent upon each person, but on kind of on the average, even in that retirement season of life, I like the idea of you keeping 20 to 30% in stocks to fight inflation and provide a bit of a growth component over time to the portfolio that allows you to maintain the balance as you start withdrawing from it, but even see it grow a bit over time. But moving largely toward a fixed income is going to smooth out kind of the ebbs and flows, the volatility, if you will, of the account, but the stock portion will give you the growth engine. Keep in mind, even once you reach retirement, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you have a decades-long need for this money to last. And so having a properly diversified portfolio with even a long time horizon, even in retirement, I think is going to serve you well, especially as we're losing purchasing power in light of inflation. John, I hope that's helpful to you. Let's see, one last community email. This comes from B, and she writes, I have two grandkids, 6 and 6 months. How can I put money away for them for the future? And B, I would just say, if you anticipate your grandchildren will go to college or even attend a private school for K through 12, I really like the 529 education savings plan. Essentially, what happens is you put in after-tax money, but then you can withdraw contributions and earnings tax-free for qualified education expenses. We're talking about tuition and books and room and board. Now, if you want more flexibility, though, for how your grandkids can use the money, you could set up a custodial account at a brokerage firm, but understand that the child actually owns the account and will have access to the money upon reaching the age of majority. In most states, that's 18. So here's the thing. You know, if you want to be able to control it, so a child, let's say, who's making poor decisions at that point or not mature enough to handle the money financially, if you want to be able to control it to avoid them having access to it at that point, you'd want to keep it out of a custodial account. In that case, you probably want to open just a joint account with you and your husband or an individual account that is in your name only. You could earmark it specifically for that child and then get it invested, get it working for them so that it's growing over time. And then when you reach a point where you want to be able to pass it off as a gift for them to use, maybe for a first apartment or to buy a car or to maybe pay down some college debt, at that point, you could make that a gift up to $16,000 a year per person. So if you're married, you and your husband could give $32,000 in a single year to a grandchild, and that's part of the annual gift exclusion. If you go above $16,000 per person, you would just need to file a gift tax return 709 to let the IRS know. Still not taxable until you get to $12 million in gifts over your lifetime, so you got quite a bit of room there. But hopefully that gives you some ideas as you think about saving for the grandkids. I know that'll be a real blessing to them as they try to navigate their way through handling God's money. And by the way, take the opportunity to instill some of these biblical principles we talk about on the program into the grandkids along the way. Talk to them about what it means that God owns it all and that we're stewards or managers of God's resources. Talk about what it means to apply principles from God's word to handling money, that we should live simply and live with contentment, that we should give generously and hold what we have loosely. Model that in the way that you handle your finances and then talk about it. Verbally communicate it, these principles and ideas that you're deploying in your own financial life along the way. And one fun thing might even be to maybe at a birthday or Christmas, along with other gifts, maybe give them a gift of some money for them to give away. And the only instruction is they've got to write you a letter back to tell you what they did with it. What a fun way just to encourage the gift of giving and watch them celebrate that along the way. Well, folks, it's been a joy to be along with you this morning. So thankful for the chance to engage with you on the phone and to share some of these truths that we find in God's Word with you today. I want to say thank you to my team today. Jim Henry providing great research. Pat Montague handling our phones today. Our engineer and producer was Adam Suddeth. So thankful for Adam sitting in today. May God bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.